Let us open with a word of prayer before we get into the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we praise Thee and we lift You up, Lord. Your name is holy, Your name is righteous, Your name is all things that You would have us to be, Lord. We ask, Lord, that as this message goes forth today, that all ears would be unstopped, and that attention will be given to the Word, Lord, as it comes forth. And Lord God, when everything is said, it is my prayer that You will be pleased, Lord, with what was said here today, and that those who listen, oh Lord, that they will have gained some knowledge as well. May our blessed Savior be lifted up now, for it's in His name I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, the title I've given my message today is quite simple, actually. It's called Spiritual Security. Spiritual Security. Ooh. I got a cap, like a ball cap. I got one at home, and it has the insignia on it, on the front, right above the beak or the peak or whatever, which reads Security. S-E-C-U-R-I-T-Y. Wow. Now, if you look up security in the dictionary, it says freedom from or resilience against potential harm from eternal forces. Have you got that? Freedom from or resilience against potential harm from eternal forces. Sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it? Well, that's what it means. Anyway, that's what security is. Now, when you work as a security guard, when you work, that's exactly what you do. Security work, right? If not, you're not working as a security guard, right? And now, it doesn't have to mean a guard. Security doesn't mean only a guard. There are all different elements of security, of course. But such is not the type of security when it comes to that of a spiritual nature. Okay, we're going somewhere with this, and I pray you'll stay with me. You know, security in the world today is to separate yourself from that is not secure. Security with God is to welcome His Word, to believe in what His Word says, and your security will be spending eternity in glory with Him in heaven. That's the security we all look forward to if we believe in God. Well, you know, in the world we live in today, there are very few people who believe in God. Very few indeed. Oh, yes, such is the nature. Not the type of security when it comes to a spiritual nature, though. Oh, spiritual security goes far beyond worldly security. Far beyond, as you can imagine. Now, in the natural realm of things, well, security is applied mostly to that which is of the flesh. Of the flesh. Carnal. Carnal. While the security of the soul, well, it deals with that which is from above. Spiritual comes from above. Okay? In essence, if you're born again from above, according to the scriptures now, then you are forever saved and eternally secure. forever saved and eternally secure, which simply means that heaven will be your final resting place. Have you secured a home in heaven yet? Have you? Oh, I pray that you have. Before things get desperately wrong here on the earth, and the way things are going today, could be any time. You know, and once the security is imputed onto you, guess what? Well, it can never be lost, never be taken away. Once it's imputed onto you, it can never be lost or taken away. And don't let anyone tell you that it can. Keep in mind that while worldly security can easily, well, crumble, fall apart, that which comes from above is from the solid rock. You got that? Is from the solid rock and forever secure. You know what the solid rock is, don't you? It's Jesus Christ, of course. He's the solid rock. Ever secure. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not just for a day or a week, a month or a year, but forever. How long is forever, you may ask? Well, some of you may have your different minds about forever. Forever is simply forever, without end. Wow, that's a long time. You know, so many would-be believers today are simply, well, just that, would-be believers. Would-be believers. They went through the motions, but got hung up on the notions. Have you got that? They went through the motions, but got hung up on the notions. They had a belief or an idea, which became an impulse or a desire, but it fell short. At the finish line, it fell short. It was never fully achieved, in other words. They walked the aisle. They bent the knee. They repeated the prayer. But, guess what? They left their heart back in the pew. Whoa. Now that won't do, will it? You see, God looks upon the heart. Did you know that? I'm sure you did, or you do. God looks upon the heart. You see, it's a heart that is desperately wicked, deceitful. Who can know it? Huh? God does. God looks upon that heart. And if the heart isn't right, then neither is the salvation that you think you have. And the righteousness of Christ, well, it's of none effect then. It's of none effect. And once the experience is over, like a dog, many will return to their vomit. That's what a dog does. Oh, it's a terrible analogy, isn't it? Terrible comparison, terrible thoughts. But anyway, if you think you can lose your salvation, or if you never had to begin with, I mean, that's about as terrible as it can get. Right? Yeah. The saddest story ever told, is that of the unrepentant believer. What did you hear what I just said? The unrepentant believer. You see, without repentance, well, there's no redemption. There's no salvation. Without repentance, there's no redemption. There's no salvation. You might say, well, the Bible says, repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Well, if you don't believe that, then your chances of ever reaching glory are zero and nothing at all. zero and nothing at all. There's no, if there's no redemption, then there's no salvation. You're still in your sin. And heaven's gate, well, it remains closed. Closed. That's a terrible word to hear, isn't it? Heaven's gate closed. You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, yes, he will. Come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Ever notice how the Word of God uses animals to explain mankind? Animals. Now, I'm going to take you on a little journey here. We're using animals. You'll see what I mean. All right? Now, could it be because we are so much alike? I mean, do we not have those survival instincts like wolves? Or wolves in sheep's clothing? That we might fool our predators? A lot of animals are like that. Some can change color. Some can roll up in a ball of fur and roll away, you might say. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, we read, "My people hath been lost sheep." There's another animal, sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Wow, that's not nice to hear, is it? They've forgotten their resting place. In Matthew 7, the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15, we read, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in..." Can you finish that line? "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." Why does God use sheep? Sheep are supposed to be meek, mild, you might say. Sheep are easily led. Oh, but beware of these false prophets who seem to be easily led, but would lead you instead, would lead you instead. In Matthew 9:36, we read, but when he saw the multitudes, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep. There's the word sheep again, having no shepherd, no shepherd. And if we look at Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 3, Jesus says, listen carefully now, Jesus says, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Well, there you have it. Now, that might sound unfair, huh? Sending you as a lamb among a wolf. But he's talking about sending his disciples, his apostles, what have you, forth as his lambs among the unsaved, the wolves of the world. Dogs are mentioned. Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. The list goes on. We have asps. Asps, which are snakes, of course. Romans 3:13 says the poison of asps is under their lips. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity, that means our sins are laid upon him at the cross, right? He bore our sins on the cross. You know, nothing could be more final than that. Nothing. Nothing at all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity or the sins of us all. Tell me, why is it that our Lord uses so many beasts, animals, if you will, of the field to define mankind? Why do you suppose he does that? Could it be that God is using that which can know no sin, the animals, to illustrate how great sinful man really is? Could that be the reason? Animals know no sin. A snake knows no sin. A lamb, a goat, they know no sin. God is using that which can know no sin to illustrate how great sinful man really is. So you're asking, then why created he man in the beginning? I mean, why did God need all this hassle about, you know, sinful man? People have asked that. Why didn't he just make us perfect and we'd go on our merry way? And then when our time is up, take us home to glory. Well, you know, I don't have the answer to that. Only God can tell you that. But God loves you. And you know how much he loves you? He loves you all the way to Calvary. That's why he gave his only begotten Son to bear our sins, to set us free from the iniquity we could not bring ourselves from. It's as simple as that. So why created he man in the beginning if we were going to be so obstinate, so sinful? You see, God knew, and he still does know, the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. Do you know the end from the beginning? Well, God does know the end from the beginning. However, so that mankind may know also, so did God allow the infirmities of the flesh. You know, if you had a mind to do something that was sinful, you know, it's quite likely God is not going to step in and stop you from doing it. Especially if your great desire is to do it. You see, that's why Jesus went to the cross. To die for those sins that you could not die for yourself. We needed a sinless one to die for our sins. And he was the only sinless one, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there's a lot to learn from the scriptures. A lot. Someone once asked, if God knew the condition of man would be of a sinful nature. Now listen carefully. If God knew that the condition of sinful man, or the condition of man, would be of a sinful nature, then why would he permit their very existence in the first place? Well, God did know. But you know, I don't think we have the right to question God. What God allows, what God does, what God programs in the future, that's God's business. But he makes it very clear through his word what he expects of us. He gives us a way out of this terrible, terrible, monsterized world that we're living in. That's a word I just threw in there, monsterized. I never heard it before, but it makes sense here. Because that's what we're surrounded by. Monsters. Sinful, sinful, depraved monsters. Yes, God did know of the advent of sinful man. But he had, even before he created man, get this now, before he even created sinful man, he prepared an escape route. An out, you might say. He didn't just throw us to the wolves, proverbial wolves. No. He gave us a way out. But we just can't lie there and live in a sinful pot, or whatever you want to call it, and expect God to just come along and say, okay, come on, it's time to go to heaven. But never mind, don't worry about your sins. They were all paid for. It's you. It's you. You have to make the move yourself. You have to declare unto God, forgive me, Lord. Yes, I believe in what happened at Calvary. I believe that Jesus suffered and died for my sins. It's up to you, up to me, up to all of us to make that move ourselves. God prepared the escape for sinful man. That's what the cross is all about. You got that? That's what the cross is all about. God's ways are not man's ways. Had he made us akin to robots, then would we not be as the grass and the trees? We would have no soul. No soul. 1 Peter. If we look in 1 Peter 3 to 5. 1 Peter. I want to read verses 3 to 5. Listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the end time. In the end time. And then we can go over to, let's see, how about John? Yeah, John chapter, John chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. Let's read what it says here. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, that is born of the Spirit. Wow, mighty words from our Heavenly Father, as dictated through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Oh, security. I'm so glad. I'm so glad my spiritual security can never be taken away. Some people think so. I have no or nothing to do with that way of thinking, because God's word is clear. God's word is clear. The world can take everything I possess in my physical realm, but thanks be to God and the finished work of Jesus Christ, they can never, never take the most important asset of all. My salvation. Why? Because Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you know something? That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? Is it? I pray it is. You know, if we're too slow in accepting Christ as our Savior, the day may come upon you rather quickly that your mind gets caught up in the things of the world. And pardon me for putting it this way, but you miss the boat. You miss the opportunity to get saved. Because when Christ returns, it'll be too late if you reject Him today. Don't reject Him. Don't take that chance. Do it now while the heavens are open for you. God is waiting for you. Jesus did the work. All you have to do is believe. Believe. And thou shalt be saved. And thy house. I want to thank you for listening. I'm glad you tuned in, and I pray that you will tune in again next week, right here on the Just as Jesus Radio Network. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Amen.